Are you taking action in your life consistent with desired outcomes? Personal accountability is the key. Making the most of ourselves and our contributions to be of greater service to others. The ability to be counted on. Impact Corporation is dedicated to helping individuals and organizations around the globe improve performance through accountability for business results. Learn about Impact's consulting, training, and coaching products at impactcorp.com, impaqcorp.com, or call 310-275-0055. Impact Corporation, transformation you can count on. 310-275-0055.
Well, welcome back to Circles of Change here on a lovely 4th of July weekend. Hope everyone's safe and planning their get-togethers with their family. I welcome on the line my broadcast partner from Impact Corporation. That's Mark Samuel. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sarah.
Great. You got a red, white, and blue T-shirt on today?
Well, I do.
All right. We did it. What's the festivities look like in Los Angeles?
Well, I'll tell you, everyone is at the beach right now.
Yep.
It's warm and beautiful, and then there's going to be fireworks over the water, so everyone's pumped up for that.
All right, very good. Well, Mark, of course, and I have done countless insightful subjects. I find myself taking notes while we do this, Mark, even though they are recorded, right, for other people. One of the biggest conundrums when individuals are caught in the midst of change, both whether that be personal but primarily organizational change, is this whole dynamic around culture. So the idea of your accountability principles, intentions all the way through to results in the context of culture change. How's that work? I know you do a lot of that work inside companies, right?
Yes. And I think that there's a major misunderstanding about culture in most organizations today. I find that culture is defined in terms of an organization's values.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sort of makes sense to do that. But here's the dilemma with it. One, there's two parts to the dilemma. One is that stated values don't represent culture. All they represent are stated values.
Hmm.
And a lot of times, those stated values weren't even developed with any kind of link to the business and what the business needs to accomplish. So they're nice words, and they're nice thoughts and philosophies or concepts, but they don't have real meaning in terms of, well, what do I do differently as a result based on my business? So you can have values of teamwork, you can have values of integrity, and you can have values of openness and respect. And those are common values I see for most organizations. Yet, organizations are structured in a hierarchy,
mm-hmm,
where
right,
people are kept separate. There's competition. You don't, part of it is the lack of sharing of resources, which means now that I'm not really being open, I'm not necessarily being respectful. So you're already, you have this organization that's there to get the business done, and then over here on some other side, we've got the values, and they're kept separate. And, very large organizations might even have training programs and awarenesses, and they'll write these lofty, descriptions and things of that nature. But when it gets down to how the business or the organization does its business and does carry its work out, all of a sudden you don't see very much linkage on a day-to-day basis to the very values that they espoused as being important.
Well, I think what you might also want to say is when organizations with all of the best intentions want to lay these values out, many times it's the desired state that they want to get to. It isn't necessarily saying, where are we truly today with this?
That's correct. And notice how many of the values that organizations espouse are they actually even tracking and monitoring? Like, they monitor business results, but are they evaluating people on those values? Are they, have they broken the values down to what it means within a particular team? Does it have relevance to serving the customer even? And again, not just in relationship with the customer, but in what we're doing behind the scenes to support a customer.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't argue, though, with companies that put out values like you so listed, the team, openness and respect, embracing change, whatever they might be. They're not wrong, so to speak, but you're saying they're kind of out there on a separate piece of paper almost.
Yeah, and what I would almost say is that it becomes close to meaningless.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're really nice, and they're great intentions, and it makes it, everything makes it look good. But until you can make your values, until you can turn your values into your practice and do it in a practical way, then all they are stated values. They're publicity. They're marketing. But it's, you know, and there may even be good intentions, but it may not relate at all.
And
how
in fact,
you're functioning as an organization.
Exactly, and particularly for people inside the organization, it then breeds a cynicism about it, and then it's just window dressing. So it's even worse than meaningless that actually can cause a negative effect on it.
Well, yes, and there's even a double negative effect, because not only are you not really living up to your quote-unquote values with your culture, but you're also missing one of the major important pieces of a culture and the purposes of a culture, and culture is actually there to support your business, not from a value standpoint, but from actually profitability and efficiency and effectiveness and retention of high performers. That literally, if you were to look at what's the purpose of a culture, it's to sustain your business.
And so, Mark, maybe we should slow down here and have you explain to us, if culture isn't stated values, then in your definition, what is culture?
Culture is actually represented by your execution.
Yeah, very good.
In the business. Because it's how you do what you do that actually demonstrates whatever your values are as well as whatever your culture is. In a sense, I look at culture as your habits. That's what your culture is today. It may not, you know, you may have a desired culture of something different, but then if you do, then you have to be in the business of changing your habits to accomplish it. And your culture and your habits are really defined by what you need to accomplish. Like the culture of a, if I were to take a metaphor of football as an example, the culture of a passing team is different than the culture of a running team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they both have, you know, values of teamwork and values of information sharing and values of support and protectiveness. But what that actually looks like operationally is very different in a passing team than a running team. And that's part of what businesses need to do. They need to define what kind of business do we have and what kind of culture in terms of our actual execution and behaviors do we need to have to support the optimal performance of the kind of business we have.
And don't you think, too, that that's where we miss the mark, because we might think our business is to come out with this great product, this thing, but yet we realize that, no, actually the product is a customer experience of that thing. And so focusing on the customer experience then can drive your culture to be something different than just one that creates the thing.
Yes, exactly. And then it's not just what the customer experience is, but what does it take for us to give that customer their experience? Like, you know, responsiveness, as an example, in a hospital is very different in an emergency ward than it is a rehab center.
Right.
So one has to be very quick on your feet, you know, adrenaline up in an emergency ward. In a rehab, it's more about process. It's more about taking your time, and it's more about customer relationships. Well, I don't need to have the same kind of customer contact and relationships in an emergency ward when I have to stop the bleeding. It's not about let's talk and jab and let's just get to know each other and make good relationships. It's a whole different game. So you really can't, you have to define it in terms of the execution necessary for what we're trying to accomplish for our customers.
That's a great analogy. In fact, the one that comes to mind for me with my automotive background and having grown up in Indianapolis and skipping school to go to the racetrack, and likewise, you know, there was always this popular metaphor in management books to talk about, you know, the driver that's coming into the pit that needs a tire change. And you'd say, did you notice there's no meeting being had then to discuss how to change the tire? That these guys have this very tightly orchestrated, down to the second practice, how to change four tires, fill the fuel tank, et cetera, et cetera. So there can be a real dichotomy when you say, oh, gee, that's the model that I could apply here for how I execute XYZ. And that's like, nope, not necessarily so.
Yes, exactly. And that's why when we go into doing culture change with organizations, the first thing we have senior management do is define what's your business, how do you need to function in your business at all the different levels? And it may look very different at each level, but how do you need to function in order to optimize your business? And, you know, people are always afraid, well, then, you know, if you're not values-driven, the values will go away. That's simply not true. In fact, you can't have an optimal business without effective teamwork, effective information sharing, decision-making that accounts for the impact on other departments, dealing with non-performers. Those are all part of a highly effective organization from a business standpoint, but it also means that your culture is more open, more inclusive, has more teamwork, more integrity, more respect, because you literally, if you don't have those values, you can't have a successful business. But you don't get there through the values. You get there through make it a very successful business and optimize it.
So, Mark, really what you're saying, it's like we've got this circle. And many people are saying the culture, to change a culture, the first place they want to go is to go rewrite the values. And what you're saying is, no, actually, those values are a result of your having traveled the other steps around that circle.
That's right.
So
that's exactly right.
And that is a real flip people's headset about this.
Well, and it is, but here's what you get at the end result. Then all of a sudden, if you've defined it based on your business, now all of a sudden there's nothing separate between your culture and your business. So you're constantly working with your culture to support the business at the same time. It never goes away. They're perfectly integrated. And in effect, the reflection of your culture is somewhat based in how well is your business doing.
Yeah. You know, we talked about a nuance of all of this, and that was this idea of focusing on the higher order of things when it talks about accountability. A couple segments ago, meetings we talked about, you're working with a couple that
yeah.
were really trying to improve their marital relationship, and how you coach them to realize that, gee, the single biggest thing, the one thing you really can rally around is your children. And that suddenly things became a lot more clearer. This is a very similar analogy then, right? I mean, if you're talking about changing your culture because you can see you need to get more efficiency or greater collaboration, but if you can keep it anchored in, example, customer service, that then
yes.
some of these other things that are gnawing at you, I'm not going to say they go away. You still have to be intentional about it, right, Mark?
Yes.
But they aren't nearly as magnified perhaps as you stay anchored in the other, that bigger picture.
That's right. And let's just take a case in point that almost every organization will relate to. One of the most common values that organizations have as part of their culture, and they pride themselves in, is teamwork. And they'll even run major programs like the 5 dysfunctions of a team or whatever
mm-hmm.
to build the teamwork. But then if you look at it from just strictly a value standpoint, how many of those same organizations have very great vertical teamwork and absolutely zero or dysfunctional cross-functional teamwork? Because
right.
it's not viewed for the business. And yet, it's the lack of cross-functional teamwork that's literally costing them millions of dollars in lost productivity, poor customer service, poor quality, all of those factors, but no one's even looking at that. Because it hasn't been defined that way. Oh, but we are, you know, we have a high value of teamwork and everyone can give us high scores on teamwork. Not true. If it was defined based on the business, you would say, you know what, for us to optimize our business, we have to have good horizontal teamwork across departments, but you'd have to take out the silos to do it. Now let's talk about teamwork. Changes the game completely.
It completely does. It also, though, that isn't necessarily a trivial thing to do, right? Because people have comfort in understanding their current roles or the organization within which they grew up. Or then you've got all these things like, the only way I can get to that person is through email, and you have no idea if they even answer your questions. I mean, those kind of things.
Well, and therein lies the other problem with changing culture based on values, is that generally we define the values in the way that's going to be most comfortable for us.
Ah, yeah.
So, yes, I'm all in favor of teamwork, and I'm going to demonstrate teamwork to the degree that I'm comfortable doing it. And as soon as you ask me to become, you know, a team with people that I compete with or that are in other departments that I don't understand, no, we don't do that. And then we hide behind the hierarchy or behind the organizational structure, whatever it is, whether it's a matrix or a hierarchy or what a business unit, doesn't matter. and define it based on our comfort zone. You know, and look at, do you not think that the company BP has, you know, doesn't have values of integrity and teamwork and customer service? I am sure they do.
And also high value on safety and environmental awareness. You're absolutely right.
That's right. But as soon as it stopped becoming part of and linked to the business, well, we throw the values out to save the business. That's how people think. And what they don't realize, it's through the culture that they're going to have the optimal business. But only if they define it through the business, not define it through separate values.
Mm-hmm.
And again, now some people are going to think, but Mark, you've got to have values. I'm not saying you don't. You absolutely do have the values, but it's demonstrated through how you function, not through literature and what you espouse.
And so when you work with clients in this whole space, Mark, about culture change, I mean, truly changing the culture, that again, you're stepping back with that first step in your model, the spirit of intention. What is your intention?
That's right.
To be a company or an organization, for example, that wants to be known for high degree of customer service. Let's take that
yes.
as an example.
Yes. And then, again, I've never seen an organization with a clear intention of strong business that didn't have supporting it very strong values in order to get there. Mm-hmm. Like when you translate it, all the values are in place, more so than they ever thought before or than they even dreamed of before when they were having training programs on the values.
Well, and part of it is because if you're living in that desire to recognize your opportunities, to own, forgive one another for when you make mistakes, then self-examine your own role, learn from it, then take action, that in the mix of that is, again, remembering that human condition, as you would say, that conflict is normal, but confrontation is something we have to work through.
That's right. And then realizing that culture, by definition, is evolutionary. It's evolutionary based on trust. So I'm going to expand my teamwork and my openness as I learn and develop greater trust in you and greater trust in me.
So when you say evolutionary, again, this is not about putting the values or anything on a piece of paper. It's got to be a real lived experience that people go through.
That's right. And it's going to look very different when the organization's in a crisis mode and when the organization is in a super profitable cash flow position, you know, mm-hmm. Cash cow position. It's just going to look different. Doesn't mean that the values are different. You know, again, teamwork looks different in an emergency ward than it does, you know, in a normal unit. But, you know, an organization's teamwork looks different when we're behind the eight ball. We've got a crisis going. We're going to lose people if we don't really, you know, sharpen our effectiveness and efficiency. It looks different than, wow, we're just more profitable than ever. It's, you know, we might want to think, well, ideally we wouldn't want it to look differently because we always want to be in some state of urgency. But the truth is, you're not. And yet, at the same time, you want to develop those foundational parts of your organization and your culture, those habits that never go away. And that would be the habit of clear sense of direction and purpose, critical. Addressing non-performers, critical. Making decisions that look at the consequences on all departments and all functional
yeah.
areas as well as the customer. You know, and those basic habits. And then all of a sudden you back those up and go, wow, look at the values that support that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all in place.
Well, and I think the other caution is if you do develop those fundamentals and those habits, it's the times that you don't stick to them that then starts the slippery slope backwards, right? Take the example that you give a buy on a certain person that's not performing, and it's because you don't have the time or the energy or the resources to go find the right replacement. So you start in this coping mode that eventually is going to, as I would suspect you'll say, go back and unwind the steps forward you've built around trust.
That's right. That's right. And then you want to also be careful, again, when you're playing the values game, it's easier to make one value more important than another.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm willing to, you know, have good customer satisfaction since that's one of our values by promising something that we can't deliver on because I really made that customer satisfied and that's what we're here to do. But I did lack teamwork because I didn't check out whether we could actually satisfy that need or I just negatively impacted, you know, a president for our company. So you've got all these competing things. Now, when you do it from an execution standpoint, all of that gets in consideration because it's execution to achieve high business success, right, which is both considering the customer and our business and our sustainability.
And that means, oh, by the way, and our employees in the mix.
Absolutely.
Right. In fact, we often talk how many people draw that management model that show at the top of the pyramid financial success and, you know, next is innovative products, then processes that work, and then on the bottom of the foundation is the people. And
right.
I've always challenged, gee, what would it look like if you flipped that triangle and that if your really your headset was on the happiest and not just satisfied employees, but really fulfilled employees that then can be the most innovative, bring forward products and services that then get you the sustainable financial results and customer satisfaction.
Yes, and then the only caveat to that, I just heard it a few days ago when a client came to me and said, yeah, we're creating a new culture, and the way we're doing it is we're asking the employees about what they want in the culture. And that's literally the worst thing you can do.
Because you're saying it's got to start anchoring with the direction of the business.
That's right, because the business is going to dictate it anyway. You can't, if they're right, if they get whatever they want, but it goes against what the business needs, you're going to go out of business. Where's your culture now?
But you're not saying that this kind of a process couldn't engage and tap on that creative stream of people, but you still have to have that fundamental architecture in place.
Yeah, but see, now you want full involvement of the employees in creating the culture,
yeah,
and developing the culture, but they now have a basis for doing it because they can say, what do we need to do to accomplish our jobs? Now all of a sudden you literally have culture tied to work-life satisfaction because you can have a great culture and have a bunch of frustrated people because they're not getting the information to do their jobs or they get too many priorities and nothing's taken off their plate. Great. So what good does it have to have your wonderful values when you're doing things that cause so much frustration and angst with your workforce?
That's absolutely right. Well, interesting opportunity, Mark. Thank you for clarifying that whole aspect of accountability and culture change. And again, have a wonderful day in Los Angeles with celebrating the 4th of July. And we'll look forward to catching up with you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, Zara.
You bet. Take care.
Are you taking action in your life consistent with desired outcomes? Personal accountability is the key. Making the most of ourselves and our contributions to be of greater service to others. The ability to be counted on. Impact Corporation is dedicated to helping individuals and organizations around the globe improve performance through accountability for business results. Learn about Impact's consulting, training, and coaching products at impactcorp.com, impactcorp.com, or call 310-275-0055. Impact Corporation. Transformation you can count on. 310-275-0055.
Mark.
Okay, you too.